Today, we honor victims of the pain, patient genocide facing our country today. Our prayers are with you and the families of these needless victims. Reality facing every chronic pain patient around the country. Lose your pain medication, lose your life.
Finally, a psychotherapist that focuses on helping people strive for self-awareness and thrive for self-satisfaction with their place in the world. It's a show for real people with real lives with all the drama, trauma, and chaos that life can throw at you. Here she is, Dr. Bev.
With addictions and overdoses surging over the past two decades, recent CDC guidelines urge doctors to avoid or dramatically limit the use of legal painkillers. Well, now let's move on to another part of Reality R Us. What if today is the day? What would you do if your family member, soulmate, friend, child, husband, or wife asked you to help them kill themselves, commit suicide? I can't take the pain anymore. I have no life. I will never be the same again. I do not want to live anymore. Stop, drop, and roll, because that's a lot to take in. You may think to yourself, I won't give up on them. I don't want them to give up on life. If chronic pain affects a loved one, you may hear a voice in your mind saying, unless they specifically say, I don't want to be on earth anymore, I may assist. The most prevalent reason is they are pain patients whose medications are yanked away quickly. We're going to talk more about that later. Lastly, what if they have a chronic pain and a major depressive disorder, an anxiety disorder, bipolar disorder, or another mental illness? It can seem that the world is stacked against them. According to Judy Woodruff, roughly 1 million Americans suffer from chronic pain. Recent guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control, that's the CDC, urge doctors to avoid or dramatically limit these prescriptions in most cases. And now, where does that leave the chronic pain sufferer? Now, I'm the first to say, pain is very subjective. I can't sit here and tell you you're not in pain. But what I am concerned about, just like Judy Woodruff, is that we are creating opioid refugees. Pain patients who turn to street drugs that are similar to their legal drugs, opioids, those street drugs that are similar, like heroin, however you want to say it, is still there. It's not the hero, it's heroin. Do you want your pain sufferer to be on heroin? Or do you want them to be on opioids? There's a choice there. But think about this. What does a pain patient who's been chronically ill for 10, 15, even 5 years? I've got a client who's 25 years as a chronic pain patient. What do you do if they have been managing their life and their medications are just yanked away quickly because, well, you know, we do have an opioid epidemic. And here in America, we want to do something about that. Well, let's get to the real business here. There's a small fraction of pain patients, about 3 to 5%, that have rare chronic conditions, and they need high doses of medication management to function, and they can't get them anywhere else. There are many good people, for whatever reason, found themselves in phase that Dr. Bev calls pain management. They were not addicts. They're not addicts. They never used illegal drugs. And they resented when doctors treat them like they're drug addicts. Excuse me, yes, ma'am. You want your pain management medication today? Well, the rules have changed. Here's a cup. Urine sample, please. Excuse me, doc? You've never asked me for a urine sample before. Well, things have changed. And I'll say this again. These are people who are not addicts, have never used illegal drugs, and they are shamed by doctors when they're treated like they're drug addicts. Sybil E. says, sometimes bad things happen to good people regarding their health. I didn't put myself in this situation. The reality is, and this is the reality, and that's why we have an opioid epidemic. I'm real about it. I'm raw. You know, I'm going to be authentic with you. The reality is that if you keep these medications up over time that are legally given to you in pain management, yes, it can kill you. But more than likely, your chronic illness or some form in that chronic illness is going to kill you anyway. These medications that help you sleep at night, tell you when to go to bed at night, that in your emotions are us mind says, okay, I can take a break, I can stop breathing, the pain will lessen, and I can just stop breathing. Even breathing hurts. But when I take these legal meds that I'm given, I can finally sleep. I don't feel the pain. Well, people, eventually your brain listens to it. It listens to the medications. It listens to what you're telling yourself. And then one day you don't wake up in the morning. General depression is strongly associated with those who suffer from intractable pain, since the experience of pain can make someone feel helpless and definitely uncertain about the future. there are also high rates of bipolar disorder, anxiety disorder amongst pain patients, especially those suffering from migraines, fibromyalgia, and arthritis. And that's just to name a few, right? Just a few. Anyone who has experienced depression knows that depression is more than just feeling, oh, I'm just sad. I broke up with my boyfriend. I got a divorce. My child is just being a complete nincompoop today. No, we're not talking about that kind of sad. We're talking about symptoms of major depression that include fatigue, loss of interest in your daily activities, feelings of worthlessness or guilt. Oh, excuse me. Wait a minute. Dr. Bev just had a brain fart. Do these symptoms sound familiar to a pain patient? If you have fibromyalgia, yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you have, there's so many chronic illnesses. If you just have one of them, let's just say fibro, because that's in the news. Everybody knows, oh, fibromyalgia. Okay, we know about that. Guess what? Those are the same symptoms that you would have. Fatigue, loss of interest in your daily activities, feelings of worthlessness or guilt, and or guilt. Yeah, those symptoms sound familiar to chronic illness, pain patients. And let's just be real. This is Emotions Are Us. I'm giving it to you raw with no chaser. It can seem like the world is stacked against you. It makes you wonder when you have domestic terrorism on our home front. Really? General depression. And when I say domestic terror, let me go back for a minute here. When I say domestic terrorism on our home front, we can think about several instances over the past few years. And it can seem like the world is stacked against you. It makes you wonder when we have domestic terrorism on our front, on our home front, how many more chronic pain patients they're going to be. You get shot in the back. You're paralyzed. You get shot in your legs. Your knees are just shattered. You have to have surgery. Trust me, you are going to have chronic pain. And it's not your fault. What if, and this is something that happens, we may not think about it. If you don't have chronic pain and you've never been in this position, you've never had a family member or a loved one have something happen to them, like riding in their automobile and just going about their day, and they get hit by a Mack truck. Their body is shattered, but they still lived. We're happy because they still lived. But we don't have to walk in their shoes. We don't have to suffer chronically every day, every minute of constant pain. What if you wake up one day with a bad flu and it never goes away? Ever. Never. Ever. Now, I'm going to go back again, as I said, and talk about painkillers, because I want you to understand. I'm not condoning. I'm not disowning. I'm not judging. I just want some knowledge and education and facts out there. What would make somebody want to commit suicide under these conditions? What would make you as the loved one of them say something or hear something in your mind that you've never heard before? I might think about helping them commit suicide. Now, as I said, I'm going to repeat, painkillers do more irreparable damage, especially when used for a long period of time. Yes. What do you do when your doctor says, it ain't my fault, the CDC center says, I must, as your pain management doctor, your legal doctor who's giving you legal meds, I must reduce your medication today. Excuse me, doc? I've been on these medications, and we finally found medications that, when put together, manage my pain to a level where I can at least have some semblance of life. But you're telling me today that you're going to have to take me off some of these medications that have given me relief today? You mean this day? You mean no weaning me off of them? And you hear your doctor says, well, you know, I can offer you some holistic solutions, and that may help. Not immediately, not today, and there are no guarantees, but I'm going to shoot it to you straight. My license is on the line. They're watching me. They're watching my prescriptions. All pain management doctors have found themselves in this position. And they will tell you, I feel for you, but this is the best I can do for you. Period. End of conversation. You say, Dr. Bev, come on. Who would do that to someone? Who would take away something legal that's helping them and giving them no other choice but to go out into the street, buy what is closely familiar to the pain medications they're taking, which is heroin? Well, you might not be a street person. You may be one of those people who, look, never bought street drugs, never been a drug addict, never used illegal drugs. You don't know where to go. You don't know who to talk to. This is a true story. And I'm not going to even give this client, we'll call her, I'm not going to even give her a name. Let's just say it was a conversation. She was asked, how are you doing? And her reply, my chronic illness is in game. I will be dead soon. And my friend said, she didn't know what to say. Honest answer. I really appreciated that. And so I suggested, wish me well with my next phase. I finished off my to-dos and a graceful and dignified goodbye to a body that did all it could do for me. If you then want to go to my memorial or maybe make a personal altar to have, you know, your own for me, celebrate me, remember me, smile for me, then you carry me with you. That's my truth. Dying, she said, is another birth. May yours be wondrous. When I was told about that conversation, it took me aback. As a psychotherapist, it really got me to listen, pay attention, start doing some research. Like, no, the CDC, because they have a huge problem on one side of illegal drug users, addicts, that will use any and everything to get their high on, because those bad people over there are doing this. I'm a good person. I get the consequences. I get looked upon with, ma'am, here's your urine cup. Yes, we need a urinalysis before we can write you a prescription. And I want to tell you that in many of these doctor's offices, some just take the urinalysis cup and, you know, they just read it off and they don't send it to a place where it can be factually tested. No. If they may be a little off that morning, they may say, oh, wait, hold on. You have Xanax in your system. You're not supposed to be having Xanax in your system. That's not one of your legal pain management. And you tell them, doc, I don't have any Xanax. I take what you give me. That's enough medication for me. What are you talking about? Well, that's what the cup says. And if that's what the cup says, guess what?
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
There's evidence that depression and pain share similar biological pathways, meaning that it can be difficult for a doctor to discern between the symptoms of depression, symptoms of feeling hopelessness, guilt, or is it really pain? Other patients shared symptoms of chronic pain and depression that include insomnia, weight loss, appetite changes, changes in energy, changes in their libido. Sometimes this leads to either a pain patient not being taken for seriously. It leads a doctor missing an underlying psychiatric disorder because of the similar symptoms. Researchers can't accurately determine the overall number of Americans who are suffering from chronic pain and depression. It's estimated that 15 million, and there's those numbers again, 15 million Americans, or 6.7% of the population, suffer from depression. The rates of depression among pain patients is estimated to be approximately 35-36%. Let's just round it off and say 40%. If you have chronic illness, you are going to be depressed. Your life is changed forever. It'll never be the same again. The only thing you're looking at some point, and we don't know when the day, when the hour, when that's going to be, none of us know. None of us know. But we do know this, that our death is inevitable. Chronic pain and anxiety disorders also share similar symptoms. Muscle tension, body soreness, headaches are common physical symptoms of certain kinds of chronic pain and anxiety disorders. Anxiety disorders are common among those suffering from arthritis, back pain, migraines, just like I said, to name a few. Just as in depression, the co-occurring, that means you're having two things going on in your body at once. You have all these different illnesses that we've lumped under this name called chronic pain. We've listed these diseases that cause the chronic pain. That's on one side. But guess what? On the flip side, depression and anxiety is going to come. Just imagine if this is you, if this is your loved one. Just imagine. The co-occurring disorder of chronic pain, anxiety, major depression disorders make it difficult to treat. Yes. With anxiety disorders, though, is that treating either the chronic pain or the anxiety disorder can ease some, maybe most, of some of the trouble, some symptoms. we'll talk a little bit more about that later, because I've got a lot to say about that. All of these statistics should not lead you to believe that you will inevitably also develop a mental health disorder. Yes, I know under the DSM-5, major depression is a disorder. General anxiety is a disorder. But that doesn't mean you're mentally ill. Just what you needed, right? That's just what you needed to know, right? No, seriously. These rates of mental illness do not mean that the pain is all in your head. What a pain patient wants to hear, do they want to hear that? In fact, there's a lot of evidence that suggests that depression and anxiety can impact your experience of pain. Because certain mental illness share similar process. The two together make it, as I said, very complicated to treat. The best method of treating both disorders, here's a tip, here's a skill that you can use. The best method of treating both disorders, your pain management, your depression, your anxiety, is to create an inclusive team of doctors that includes a psychiatrist and a psychotherapist. And Dr. Bev believes if you're going to be on pain management, if you're going to be on legal drugs without a therapist, no do, does not work. You need both. You need both to help you make it through. Now that's being proactive. There are many psychiatrists and psychotherapists who are qualified to treat the mental impact for those who are suffering from a chronic condition, as well as what's called their mental illness. Because again, just because you have chronic pain, a disease, doesn't mean that you can't be schizophrenic. That's a real mental health disorder. That's serious. Or bipolar. That's just to name a couple. Yes, you need a psychiatrist and a psychotherapist. The two go hand in hand. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. If you know somebody that knows somebody who's in this condition, please share. If you are struggling with any mental health symptoms and chronic pain, I beg of you, please consider adding a psychotherapist and a psychiatrist to your treatment team. Also, Dr. Bev wants you to know that you are not alone. There are thousands, if not millions, struggling along with you. Reach out. Reach out. And on my show page, there will be several support groups that you can look into, more information, insight, because I want you to be as knowledgeable as you can about your body and your mind. We're here for you. I'm here for you. I am here for you. And I want to thank Darcius for this information. She is an Army veteran who suffers from chronic pain and has so for over a decade. This is Olga, and Olga says that chronic illness leaves people bedbound and drives some to suicide. I told you I was going to get back to that suicide. Yes, drives some to suicide. But there's little research money devoted to this disease. Now, I know that, okay, kumbaya, change is coming, but it's mostly due to the rise up of the people, to the patients themselves. Olga says, I've been demolished for the most forsaken of orphan illnesses. At 43, my productive life is over. Over. There is no cure for her disease. No cure. We talked about chronic fatigue syndrome. No cure for it. You're going to have it. Medication may help, but check this out. What if your medications were cut in half or told that you can't have this particular medication that just takes that fibromyalgia pain and just brings it down to a 10 or a 15? You would go for that. She still remembers, Olga does, the exact moment that separates her former life from her new sick one, her new sick life. She says it was in May 2010. She was visiting her family in Las Vegas and went and she discovered, I've got 102 degree fever. She said her head felt like a hammer. Like a hammer had hit it. She said she felt groggy in the head, like, you know, when you have a bad hangover. She thought, okay, well, no big deal. It's just probably the flu. You know, take something over the counter, it'll be okay. Well, when she left her family after the visit, and she was back in New York, she took a few sick days from work because by then the feverishness and the dizziness didn't disappear. It didn't clear up. She pushed herself and she pushed herself and she pushed her body to the point where she could only work half time. And this is a woman who's had a very productive life. Go get her. There is nothing that she can't do, won't do. Well, her primary care doctor struck when he explained, when she explained her symptoms. He used his connections in the science world. She did, and visited the best neurologist in her surrounding 400-mile radius. She was willing to drive 400 miles to get help. One doctor performed an MRI that showed damage to her upper spinal cord. But no one could give her a concrete diagnosis. 2 months in, her limbs began to twinge with pins and needles. That's what it felt like to her. She wondered if she was crazy or if she had maybe multiple sclerosis. Something. Well, that winter, she lost 30 pounds in 2 months. She went to a week-long scientific conference for work during this time. And she could, like I said, she continued to push herself. She's a never give up kind of person. Let's work through it. But by the time she finished that conference, she would look at her thigh and see her muscles jump. So she started thinking, well, maybe since the doctor doesn't know what I have, maybe I have Lou Gehrig's disease. Maybe I want to check that out. Maybe I want to research that. Well, she continues to go to doctor after doctor after doctor. In January, her right arm temporarily became paralyzed, and her right eye temporarily went blind. She spent most of 2012 in the bed. The best she could do, writing creative stories whenever she could muster the strength and the clarity of focus of her mind. That summer, she saw a doctor at the National Institute of Health who took 29, I repeat, 29 vials of blood. And she said, the results didn't point to any one disease, any one problem in particular. Frustrated, she told the doctor, I'm pretty sure I have ME. Now, what is ME, you ask? That's a term that most patients prefer for their disease. It's like, I have all of these symptoms, I have all of these things, we know that I'm suffering, but we can't put a name or a label on it. And that was her truth. And she says, she remembers the doctor saying, well, if that's the case, then the question is, what can be done about it? Let's hold up for a minute. Let's take a second and think about that.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Now, at some point, work, her medical leave ran out. She applied for both private and public disability benefits, but because she didn't have a label for all of these symptomologies that she was having, her disability claim was denied because she didn't have one medical test that proved that she had chronic illness. I can't tell you how astonishing it is to see a previously healthy 30-year-old athlete, short of breath, from walking 25 feet. That's David Kaufman, the medical director. That's what he story that he told me about one of his clients. He's the medical director of the Open Medicine Institute in Mountain View, California. At least a quarter of affected people have been bedridden or housebound. Some 50 to 70% are able to maintain or remain somewhat functional, meaning they can get up and go to the bathroom by themselves. They can get out of bed. Eventually, it might take them 2 or 3 hours to get out of bed because of the pain, but they eventually do. They may cook for themselves. They've got to make it to a myriad of doctor's appointments and at any one time, each week. They can remain somewhat functional with the help of different drugs or intervention. In the meantime, they keep searching for solutions. In the worst cases, sufferers' symptoms drive them to desperate acts. Back to that suicide again. Yes, desperate acts. One woman, a 32-year-old named Vanessa Lee, had been sick ever since she took a ski trip in the Italian Alps with her family as a college student, and she caught the flu, from which she never fully recovered. She spent the next 15 years racked by piercing migraines, chronic pain, breathing issues, and occasionally paralysis. In February, Lee died after taking an overdose of sleeping pills. In a note, she wrote that she had been planning suicide for some time. Now remember, she'd been living with this for 15 years. She wrote the note and said that she had been planning suicide for some time, comparing her choice to the one faced by individuals who dove head first from the World Trade Center on September 11, rather than burn up in flames. Now, here are a few examples of opiates that you might or may not be familiar with. Morphine, oxycodone, Oxycontin, Percocets, hydrocodone, also known as Vicodin, fentanyl, that's used for heart patients, and it's in a patch. Now, that has become a rabid street drug. What can we do? Well, my suggestions. I'm not president, I don't run the country, but if I did, you know life would change. Because it's Dr. Bev's world. What can we do? We can help make laws that make it mandatory that pain management, counseling, and addiction teams work together for the good of the client. We can release the requirement for pain management appointments from, let's say, every 4 weeks to every 8 weeks. See, Dr. Bell, what would make you think of that? Well, put yourself in that position. If you can barely get out of bed in the morning, if it takes you 2 or 3 hours to get out of bed, you have to have somebody else bathe you. In some instances, feed you. but in order to get that medication, which helps you every 4 weeks, you've got to get to that doctor's appointment. So that's why I say, can we just shorten it up? See a counselor. See a counselor. See a psychotherapist. Please help you help yourself. At least, as one client told me, Dr. Bev, I'm glad that I see you, because had I known or was able to talk about my feelings, I was getting without fear of being asked not to come back to my pain management doctor, because he was afraid that his license might be pulled. He didn't care about my life. He didn't care about my life. Because I mentioned feelings one time, feeling a little depressed, feeling a little anxiety, that doctor told me on that day, not only are you not getting your prescriptions, you need to go and see another pain management doctor. And good luck on finding one. And good luck on getting into one within a few days. No. Doesn't happen. It takes months sometimes because the waiting list is so long. So that's another thing I would say. See a counselor. See someone that you can talk about your feelings and what's going through your mind, so that you don't have to tell the pain management doctor that. I wish, like I said, we could all work together as a team for the good of the client, for the good of the patient. And lastly, I would say, pass laws that if placed on methadone, a form needs to be filled out by a dentist every 12 months. So, Dr. Bev, what? A dentist? Well, many of these pain management medications affect your teeth. Remember, they're opioids. Your teeth start crumbling. Most chronic pain patients have no teeth. They wear dentures. Okay? That is their life. I'm going to leave you with a warning. And Rebecca, thank you for giving me permission to speak your truth for you. I appreciate that. And this is what Rebecca warns, because as I've said, we're talking about opioids, we're talking about chronic illness, and that opioids resemble in many ways to street drugs, okay? The addicts, however they got to be an addict and chose to go in that direction, the addicts use. She gives a warning. Just wanted to give a reminder to those who take controlled medication. That is medication that you get from a pain management doctor or pain management clinic. Some people are going to extreme lengths to steal prescription medications in the United States. Remember, all of this started with the pain management doctors being put into a box because we have an opioid addiction chronically in America. So people will go to extreme lengths to steal your prescription medications in the United States. There are addicts joining support groups, just so they can find out what kind of medications you're taking, so they'll know who to target. They'll go to groups so they know where you live, what you look like. Yes. She says, warning, you are in danger. When you share which medications you take, you put yourself at risk. When you throw away bottles after you finished your medications, the labels can make you a target. Yes, addicts do go through your trash. Yes, they do. She suggests destroying the labels on your medications bottles when you throw them away. Also, be very cautious about answering broad questions such as, so I know you're chronically ill, you have a sickness, you have Lou Gehrig's disease, you have this, you have that. What medications are you on? This is Dr. Bev. When you don't know that you don't know, then you simply do not know. How be so ever, as my Nana would say, when you do know, act like you know. Thank you for listening. Emotions Are Us is here to assist you with knowledge and information by giving you education, facts, and expertise. Caring is what I do. What are your questions, your thoughts, or your personal stories? I want to hear from you. I want to share with others, because you, by sharing or giving me the information and knowledge so that I can continue to research, I'll give it out. But you may save a life by sharing your truth.